Om Shanti. From today we are starting the 7 days course, which are basically the 7 lessons which as a student we will learn. And these lessons are: number 1, the soul. Second chapter, the supreme soul. Third chapter, the law of karma. Fourth chapter, the cycle. Fifth chapter, the tree of religion. Sixth chapter, the founder Brahma, Baba. Seventh chapter is the Brahma Kumari's lifestyle and principle. We will base each and every concept on these 7 lessons. So today, as day 1, the topic for the day is realizing the self. Sometimes in the journey of life, some of the following question might have crossed your mind. Even if they haven't, they eventually will certainly occur. Who am I? What am I? What is my real identity? How do my thoughts and feelings interact with the body? How to make my mind powerful? Breaking the mysteries of mind, understanding thoughts, how they come and go, how to regulate them. Why do we come under emotions, feeling, tension and stress? How does an individual develop behavior pattern? How to transform them? How to enjoy this precious life? How to lead a life of peace and bliss? The first lesson is all about complete understanding of self, which has remained a mystery that has eluded scientists, philosophers, great thinkers and many other intellectual minds. So firstly we will discuss about soul and body. The human mind and the human body is a complex pattern of physical energy. Atomic particles bind together to form the organic structure, and inorganic minerals which perform the body chemical interaction, thus forming the basis of hormonal and nervous control of the body. What we see as the old or young, ugly or beautiful, male or female, are also the defining level of physical energies. However marvelous a machine the body may be, it is presence of the non-physical conscious energy, the soul, which makes it happen, which makes it function. Now the next question is, who am I? I am a living entity, different from the body. Just as a person who speaks with the help of a telephone or listen to the call with the help of that instrument has his entity different from that of the telephone. He himself, being a living person who has the faculties or characteristic of feeling, thinking, willing and making effort. Similarly, the conscious entity in the body which uses the word I is different from the body, which has eyes, ears, nose, etc. as its component. I am not the eyes, the ear or the mouth, but I see with my eyes, speak through the mouth, hear with the ears, and I am their master. I am a soul, Atma, eternal and immortal. The body is mortal. I have got it to do actions and to experience the result of my actions. I am the master of my body. The soul is like a driver who is in charge of the body, which serves as a carriage to the soul. The soul is a diamond, the body being the cassette for it. When the soul leaves the body is declared dead. Then people set about cremating it because its valuable owner, the soul, has already left the body and is no more of no use. When the soul is not there. People say the light has gone. That which lived in it has departed and the drama is over. So now the next question is, what are the faculties of a soul? The soul is a living being. It is said to be living because it can think and reflect. It can experience pleasure and pain. So also bliss and peace. It makes effort and actions, good or bad. A soul has three faculties, mind, intellect and predisposition, called sanskar. The mind is the thinking faculty of the soul. It is the mind that imagines, thinks and forms ideas. The thought process is the basis of all emotions, desire and sensation. It is through this faculty that it is an instant thought can be projected to the distant place. Past experience and emotions can be even the future and can be anticipated. It is the mind that experiences the variation of moods. The mind is a faculty of the metaphysical soul, not be confused with the heart or the brain. So intellect is used to assess thoughts. This is the faculty of understanding and decision making, which stand out as the most crucial faculty of the three. With the deepening and the broadening of the intellect, clear understanding and realization of the knowledge becomes natural, and the power to decide and the reason becomes clear. It is the intellect which remembers, discriminates, judges and exercises its power in the form of will. The next is a sanskar or predisposition. Predispositions are the impressions or the subconsciousness which is the record of all souls' past experiences and actions. Sanskars can take the form of habit, talents, emotional temperaments, personality traits, belief, values and others. Every action as an experience either creates a sanskar. Whatever impression is etched in the soul remain within it, forming a complete achief of all the experiences that the soul has had. When we speak of defects, specialities or virtues, we are referring to the sanskar. The sanskar are the basis of soul's individuality. So the soul is basically made up of mind, intellect and predisposition. Now comes the seat of the soul, where the soul is located. The soul is located in the middle of the forehead, in between the two eyebrows. This is the seat of the soul. The brain is a control room, just as the driver controls the car. Using different parts of mechanism, seated at one place, the soul employs the brain to control the body. The brain is the machine by means of which the soul thinks, remembers, receives messages and gives direction to the sense organs. The brain is the meeting place of all nerves, which carry sensations from all parts of the body to brain, which functions like a control room and makes the body to work. It is in the brain that the soul, through the nerves, put the body to work and experience physical sensation, pleasure and pain, happiness and sorrows. But the brain is separate from the soul. Brain is a complex thing made of matter, whereas the soul has a life principle or consciousness. So now comes the question, nature of soul. What is the nature of soul? A soul is a tiny metaphysical point of spiritual light. There is a finite number of souls. Each soul are eternal. They were never created and will never destroy. Each soul is unique. We are all souls, unique and different, and remain so eternally. as such souls are invisible to the naked eyes, but one can experience its presence, a soul has no gender. The nature of the soul is that of love, peace, happiness, truth, bliss, and purity. Therefore, soul always desire for the experience of these qualities. These are the qualities that naturally emerge when the soul is aware of itself, or in other words, is soul conscious. Body consciousness is the next question. Body consciousness, the root cause of all evils in the world. A person in body conscious, when he or she identifies, so being in body conscious is the root cause of all the evils in the world. Because the vices like lust, anger, greed, attachment and ego are all having their roots in body consciousness. But the key for blissful life is soul consciousness. When a person is in the state of awareness that I am a soul and not this physical body, then he or she would be in soul consciousness. In other words, the person thinks, feels, acts, behaves, compares, etc. with the awareness that he or she is a soul, the master of the body. When in soul consciousness, the original qualities of soul naturally emerge, then it is possible to experience lasting peace and bliss. So, whatever we do, we should do as soul consciousness. Now comes the karma philosophy. There are many times when thoughts of distress and tension raise their ugly head. There are situations when a person searches for right answers. Here are some typical examples. Why are we here? Why was I born here and he there? Why is she beautiful? I am ugly. Why is so and so crippled for no apparent fault of theirs? Why does the egoistic bully? And so many other questions. Why does the timid, quiet, little widow who has never said a harsh word to anyone is living in this condition? Why did he have to die? Why did he do that to me? Why is there so much suffering? Why this? Why that? The answer lies in one eternal truth based on the law of karma or karma philosophy, that no one can escape the result of his or her karma. Depending on bad or good karma or action, one only suffer or enjoy either in this or in the next life. No one can escape the result of his or her karma. The law of karma is always there. So everyone must act a sense of responsibility. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. So we must acquire right knowledge of what is good and what is bad action. So the moral of the story is, I have to do right karma for my benefit. It is not for showing it to anyone outside. Every human action has a moral aspect. If a person's certain act is morally good and the person get ultimately benefited, if on the other hand his acts are morally bad, he suffers, it would require a lot of space to express what is morally good or bad. But in one sentence, it may be said that if a person acts under the influence of hatred, anger, lies, greed, ego, lust and such other acts under the influence of body consciousness, then his actions are bad or negative. These create disharmony and conflict and suffering in the society. On the other hand, if a person has a balanced judgment, stability of mind, peace of spirit, act with a feeling of love, justice, sympathy, humility and the such other actions in soul consciousness, then these acts are good, because such acts promote harmony, peace, unity and happy feeling. So, this is all the karma theory. Now comes the power of thought. The most powerful instrument that mankind possesses is the thought power. Thought binds and builds our consciousness and shape our attitude. One needs to know how important thoughts are. Every human creation we see in this world is due to the powerful thoughts in human minds. Thoughts shape the world. Thoughts are fertilized by knowledge. A person with a certain kind of knowledge usually creates thought in harmony with that knowledge. Knowledge gives wisdom. A person without knowledge is a person whose thought will be formed in ignorance. Every action is preceded by thoughts. The quality of thoughts determines the quality of our karma. The karma in turn has good or bad effect on us. This again influences our thinking. So right thinking based on the right knowledge is essential for leading a peaceful and contented life. Raj Yoga meditation helps us in doing the right thinking that leads to rightest action. This also helps in remaining mentally strong amidst turbulence in any situation. So now for a few minutes, let's relax ourselves and see what all we have learnt. I'm the soul. Where am I located? I'm located in the center of the forehead. I am just a twinkling light, a point of light, doing everything. My each and every action counts as a karma. We have to do each and every work in soul conscious stage to live a blissful life.